Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, my name is Rhiannon Leo Jameson, and I'm from the Northeast Millerton Library.
Hi, I'm Margaret Hask, and I'm from the Cornwall, Connecticut Library.
It's been a little while since we chatted. I hope your summer was well.
It was. This last few weeks has been, in particular, very, very nice.
So we've been asked to talk about staffing rural libraries.
Right. And how is your staffing? Do you have challenges with that?
Oh, it's like anything else, sometimes. For the most part, we're very fortunate that people tend to stay for a while, which is, you know, makes us feel great.
Yeah, right.
At least, you know, 2 years or so. We have a front desk position that has probably the most turnover only because we move on to other things. I've been here for, probably 15 years now, and two children librarians ago was here for 10 years. So we had a little difficulty getting that settled, but our children's person has been here for a year now, so I think we've hit our groove again, and it's kind of nice.
Wonderful. Yeah. Do you have a lot of staff?
No, we only have three. Three staff people here, myself, the children's services person, and the front desk person, and that's it. Everything else is volunteers.
If you're down a person, it really hurts.
It really does. That's when you notice it the most.
Right.
What about you?
So we've had, I've been here 13 years, which I thought was a long time, but you've been there 15 years, so I guess it isn't that great. We have nine staff people, but before it sounds like that's a crowd, some of them work only 3 or 4 hours a week.
Oh.
Because I find it helpful to us to have a lot of people who we can interchange.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to work for people to have, if I have one circulation person who has a Thursday afternoon slot, and then she also does a Sunday slot every other Sunday. And if I need her another day because she has those sets of skills, I can, she can easily fill in for somebody else.
So that
works for me here, and people do tend to stay, which is really nice. I haven't had anybody resign in, I think, 10 years. So we've been very stable, which is fantastic. We did do some hiring during COVID and after COVID because we had a huge influx of young families.
Mm-hmm.
We enriched our children's programs significantly and hired somebody to do that. And so she's done a fabulous job. She's 20 hours a week. And then we also, because of COVID, we got into the Zoom presentation kind of way of doing a program. Some of our patrons, when everything was shut down, we never did shut down. Our library, we didn't let anybody in, but we didn't shut down. We were still working here. So some of our patrons offered these very generous, really college-level courses over Zoom on, literary things. And so we had to jump into being able to do the Zoom thing right away. And,
yeah.
And so I needed a person for that, so I hired a person for that right away. And then as that expanded and we were getting huge Zoom audiences and our programs got very popular, we hired somebody to write our media releases. And all these people I'm talking about are like 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours a week. You know, they just have their one specific job that they do. So that's those people. And then our last hire was probably one of our best, which we hired a guy to come in 3 hours a week and fix things. And that has been
<That's>
wonderful.
Great. what we need.
That's what everybody needs. Volunteers can only do so much.
Yeah. We're very fortunate that we have our retired shop teacher in from Weebatuck will come and repair things for us.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, we've had some of the same wooden bookcases in the children's for quite some time, and he has nursed them along so, generously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great because it's so hard to get, vendors in. It's so hard to get a carpenter in or an electrician in. They'll come, but it's hard to get them. So if you have a guy who has a lot of skills, as my guy does, then, today we thought we had four lights out, and it turned out it was just a fuse, or I don't think they're called fuses anymore, but it was just a switch. And and I hadn't thought to check that. He did. So I would have called an electrician in to throw a switch, which would have made me feel pretty silly.
I find that, staffing-wise, for the most part, we've always been very fortunate in being able to find someone, with one exception in the entire time I've been here, to cover a position. But finding someone to work on the building itself has always been exceedingly difficult.
That is the hard thing. That is really hard. Yeah.
I feel like it's more like, people in their homes, too. But I don't know if it's because we're technically a municipality that we scare people away and, I don't know. It always seems to be a challenge.
And we tend to hire local people, too. So that is really, I think that adds to the sense of community in the library, that all of our staff, with the exception of one, live in the community. And so we all kind of know each other. And that's a very nice feeling to have in the library.
Yeah. We do the same thing, or try to as much as possible, to give priority to the people who are living in our community or have a connection to our community. Because I feel like, not that people from outside of our community wouldn't care and serve our community just as well, but there's another connection there. Like, it gives everyone ownership of the library.
Oh, that's a good word to use. Yeah, that's right. That's what it does. Yeah, and it makes a very friendly, place where you come in and you know people. And, it just makes it more fun.
Okay, I joke right now, but we're our main front desk person, because I actually misspoke earlier. We have two people working at front desk. We were able, very fortunate, to hire someone to cover our front desk or cover whenever we need it, as long as it works with their schedule, and it's been wonderful. but our front desk person is in college, and they grew up in our community, and they, one of their first programs we had here when I started here was his Cub Scouts, and they came and got their library badge. And now that he's an adult and in the world, he's working at the library. So we try to do things like that as much as possible.
You mentioned, too, that you use a lot of volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
So how many volunteers do you have in the library?
Oh, gosh. Without actually going through and counting everybody, I would say 10 to 15 volunteers.
Wow.
Yeah. We have our day-to-day volunteers, and usually it ends up being about two today that come in, pull the holds, reshelve the books, make sure the library is in order, and things like that. And then we have people who will volunteer to run our book sales and keep that room in order. Volunteers who run our craft fair and other events. Many of our programs are volunteer run, like our Mahjong groups and now our knitting group. They've come in and they don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
They just come and do their own thing. Our concerts this year, where we had a volunteer, Lance Millbrook, come and do the sound for our concerts, where normally that would be me. So that was wonderful, having someone who is a musician who has much better ears than I do to run the sound.
Right.
So it's really kind of amazing how people are just like, oh, I want to volunteer, and I have this skill set. I'm like, excellent, come do this.
Yeah. We have some regular volunteers who do specific tasks. I have a woman who prepares the books, and that's nice. And then we have sort of like a set of people who handle particular events, and they're usually community people and maybe some board members, and they all work together. Like the book sale has a little team that always runs the book sale, and our Books and Blooms big fundraiser mm-hmm. has a team that, you know, certain people work with. And then this coming weekend we're having our Labor Day art sale, and that requires a big effort, and we have a mm-hmm. lot of volunteers working on that one. And then I have some people who come in, you know, just occasionally to organize the shelves and, you know, help us with specific tasks like that.
How many volunteers would you think that you have, ballpark?
Well, we have the Friends of the Library, and that's, I think, 15 people. And mm-hmm. they help with really, like, one-time things. Like, for this Labor Day art sale, we had to put out sidewalk signs. And volunteers stepped up and did most of that. And then we have three who come in regularly, and one, like four who come in regularly. And then to count the number who help with the big projects, that, you know, we probably have a total of 25 volunteers. Wow. You know, if I had to actually do a head count, that's probably what I'd come up with. And they're invaluable. Mm-hmm. We just couldn't get the job done without them.
And that's something I've always been kind of envious of, that we don't have a friends group.
Oh, yeah.
So there, that'd be wonderful.
It's nice to have that
I hear all these
list.
Activities. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's nice to have that mailing list so you can just send out a request and mm-hmm. you know, a few people respond.
Yeah, we have it informally, but it would be nice to have that kind of organization where you know that there's a stable of people. And, you know, or they can do their own programs or own fundraising events and things like that.
Yeah, a lot of our events are brought in by people in the community who were interested in it. Like we have Mahjong, we have Bridge, we have Zumba. Those are all brought in by community people.
So you mentioned, I mean, we're getting closer to the end of our time.
Oh.
But you mentioned we should probably talk about our upcoming programs, but you have your Books and Blooms or your art sale.
Labor Day art sale that's happening this weekend. And it's such a fun effort. It's a huge effort, but it is a lot of fun. So we request people to give us paintings or any kind of wall hanging thing that they don't want anymore. Mm-hmm. And it could be something very, very nice. It could be something very casual. And we have, I think at last count, over 300 pieces now. And they range from like somebody's simple sketch of something, an artist unknown or a print, up to some really, really very well-known artists who are represented here. So the prices vary from $25 to couple thousand dollars. So there's something for everybody. Anybody can come in and find something they like. And it really is a fun thing. So as pieces are purchased, we take them down, we put something new up, and just let it flow all weekend long. It's great.
Oh, wow. That does sound like, I think I've said this before, but I want to do this too. That sounds like a great time.
It really is fun. And people love seeing their art sort of live another life, you know, in somebody else's home. What do you have coming up?
We have a couple things. September is usually a slower month for us. We find that, like, people don't come in as much because they're getting used to the new school schedule and just, you know, transitioning back into the non-summer life. But on September 6th, we have an AARP driver safety course, 9 a.m. in our annex. So we encourage everyone to sign up. It isn't free. It's one of the non-free programs we do since it's through AARP. But I think it's $35 if you're a non-member and $25 if you are. And you know, it helps you get a discount on your insurance. So,
that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's actually kind of, the person who comes up and does it is very entertaining.
Good.
It's a lot better than what I remember a five-hour course being.
That's a long course. We have our children's activities starting up again, which is fun. So we have our after-school art program, and we have our storybook hour, and those things that we do during the school year starting up again. So I'm looking forward to seeing all the kids again.
We have, you know, it's definitely a different crew from summer to fall and winter, and we're already starting to see some of our fall people came back early because the weather is nicer now. Speaking of fall and winter, we're having a How to Create Winter Interest in Your Garden on September 20th. We're going to have someone in who is a Cornell Cooperative Extension former, they used to work there, and they were also trained at the Carey Institute when they used to have horticulture programs and things like that there. And she's going to guide us through how to, you know, bring color to your garden. You know, some plants will be more vibrant in the winter, you know, things of that nature. So that's going to be on September 20th at 1 o'clock. And we're also celebrating National Voter Registration Day on September 16th.
Good for you.
So we have registration forms here at the library, but you could also register to vote online. And we're just trying to encourage people to register to vote because you'd be surprised how many people in your community aren't. And sometimes that could just be because they're jaded about, you know, my vote doesn't matter on a national level, but it does. But it's also very impactful on a local level.
Yes.
Like some of the local elections are only decided by a handful of votes. So your vote will truly make a difference on a local level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In a town like Cornwall, where we have, you know, 1,400 people. So how many registered voters is that? I don't know, but it's less than 1,400. An election can be decided by just a handful of votes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you have anything more you'd like to share.
Well, we do have a couple of other things coming up. We have a talk about it's the life of James Schuyler, who's a poet. He's a very famous poet, and Nathan Kernan has written his biography, so we're having a book talk about that. And that is, I should give the date, September 6th at 5 p.m. We have a nature book discussion group on September 16th at 1, and they're reading the book, What If We Get It Right, which is about, you know, suppose we solve our problems, you know, what's that going to look like? And so that's kind of exciting and hopeful. And then a local person is giving a talk on New York's Scoundrels, Scalawags, and Scrappers. He's written a book on that. And that's on September 20th. We have an art class with a teacher who teaches here regularly, a watercolor class. That's Saturday mornings. And then the bridge, we have bridge on Thursday afternoon. And then we have our, as I said, our after-school programs going again. And then we have an art show opening on September 13th. It's the works of Neil Estern, who lived in Cornwall for a long time. He was a renowned sculptor. He did the Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial in Washington. And so they have some small pieces and photographs of his work that they're going to be showing. So that's a lot. That's a lot for a month. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're coming up at the end of our time.
Okay.
But nice
talking to you
again.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakefieldbooks.com.